when you think about your service to God, the way you obey Him, the way you serve Him, does sharing your story factor in at all? Meaning, you know, I know that as Christians, as people of God, we tend to focus on, appropriately, humility. We always want to talk, you know, we try to be humble. We try to deflect from ourselves onto God constantly, which is a good thing. But I think that sometimes we go too far and we go to the point where we neglect understanding that our story is a part of God's story. And that part of sharing God's story is sharing our story and what He's done in our lives. And so as we continue on in our series, Share the Good News, part four today is, and remember, we talked about how this series, we were going to build a theology, we're going to build a foundation, which we will do throughout this series. But we're actually going to deal with methodologies and equipping you to actually share the good news in ways that reflect your passion, your gifting, and your calling. I think I constantly use this example, so I don't want you to interpret it as me nitpicking it or saying it's not good, because that's not true. But I often talk about how, you know, many churches, when they do outreach, the first thought is, you know, knocking on doors. That's a great thing. There's people that are tremendously gifted, knocking on doors, talking with strangers. You know, Pastor Stephen, Pastor Scott are great at that. Alan, you know, Pastor Alan, this dude will talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime. I know because I traveled with him. So that's just what he's good at. That's what they're great at. I'm not good at that. And so sometimes when you're not good at the traditional models, you start to think, oh, well, I don't have gifting for that, or that's not what God's calling me to. And we're here to tell you that's not true. What it is you have to figure out what's your style, what's your gifting. And so we will talk about some of the different styles or approaches to sharing the good news. So today, this is probably my favorite personally. It's the story sharing approach. It could easily be called, you know, the testimony sharing approach. But I want to talk about the story sharing approach. So if you think about it, I want you to think about this. Have you ever seen anybody in Scripture give their testimony? I want you to think about that. Because we know that God has a narrative, right? Through His human authors, He's revealing the stories of Moses and Daniel and everybody. Does anybody actually share their testimony in Old Testament and New Testament? And I think that if we get that right biblically, we'll understand not to shy away from it, but this is actually part of the way God works. So one person that actually shares his testimony many times, but two specific times he lays it out very long, is Paul. Our text today is Acts chapter 22, that's one, and he does it again in Acts chapter 26. But throughout all his writing, his epistles, he's laying out his testimony all the time. You understand that, right? So I want you to understand that biblically so you understand that it's a biblical thing to do this. So in Acts chapter 22, starting with verse 1, Paul begins by saying, "Brothers and esteemed fathers, listen to me as I offer my defense." And I would just say he's in a court of law, he's sharing the gospel. So for us, listen to me as I offer my story. "When they heard him speaking in their own language, the silence was even greater. Then Paul said, 'I am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, and I was brought up and educated here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. As his student, I was carefully trained in our Jewish laws and customs. I became very zealous to honor God in everything I did, just like all of you today. And I persecuted the followers of the way," which is the Jesus movement, "hounding some to death, arresting both men and women, and throwing them in prison. The high priest and the whole council of elders can testify that this is so. For I received letters from them to our Jewish brothers in Damascus, authorizing me to bring the followers of the way from there to Jerusalem in chains to be punished. As I was on the road approaching Damascus about noon, a very bright light from heaven suddenly shone down around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' Who are you, Lord? I asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus the Nazarene, the one you are persecuting. The people with me saw the light but didn't understand the voice speaking to me. I asked, what should I do, Lord? And the Lord told me, get up and go into Damascus, and there you'll be told everything you are to do. I was blinded by the intense light and had to be led by the hand to Damascus by my companions. A man named Ananias lived there. He was a godly man, deeply devoted to the law, and well regarded by all the Jews of Damascus. He came and stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, regain your sight. And that very moment, I could see him. Then he told me, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and hear him speak. For you are to be his witness, telling everyone what you have seen and heard. What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord. After I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple and fell into a trance. I saw a vision of Jesus saying to me, hurry, leave Jerusalem, for the people here won't accept your testimony about me. But Lord, I argued, they certainly know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And I was in complete agreement when your witness Stephen was killed. I stood by and kept the coats they took off when they stoned him. But the Lord said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. The crowd listened until Paul said that word. Then they all began to shout, away with such a fellow. He isn't fit to live. They yelled, threw off their coats, and tossed handfuls of dust into the air. So the story continues in chapter 22. But as we can see here, as Paul's laying out the gospel, there's an intersection between the life of Paul and the things that God has done. And this isn't even the first time we're hearing this testimony, because we heard Paul's testimony from another believer named Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, who opens up with Paul's story in, what is it, chapter 9? That's probably the right chapter, but I could be wrong in the chapter. And so, not just sharing your story, but the fact that we get to share each other's stories as the people of God, that's one of the approaches to sharing the good news with others. What we witnessed last weekend is to add to our collection of stories, right? And I'm not just talking about Val and Frank. We think about Serena and Jordan, who were at the gathering, who came here as well. As we all sat around in the fellowship hall and broke bread, and we're sharing back and forth all that God has done. Not all, because we don't have time, but some more of what God has done, right? The story-sharing approach. So principle number one today is sharing your story with others is about revealing the fact that Jesus Christ is the one and only Lord and Savior of all mankind. That's what it comes down to. As you share your story, yes, it might quite literally not be the gospel, because the gospel is the fact that Jesus, the second member of the Trinity, God in the flesh, came down from heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, took on the sins of the world in his crucifixion, paid that price so we could have eternal life. He was resurrected on the third day, and after 40 days, he was reascended to the throne. That's the gospel. The gospel is that if you put your faith in Jesus, and in the faith of Jesus, then you too can be reconciled to God and be saved. That's the gospel. But as Val and Frank were sharing their story, as Serena was sharing her story, we see how the gospel at work in real life. We see how God meets people, how God accepts people, how he loves people, how he changes people. And that ultimately there's only one God that does this. There's only one God with this kind of power, one God with this kind of relationship with humanity, one God who was willing to do it all. And that is our triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So while I know that some of us that don't like telling stories per se, want to deflect away from our life. We want to deflect it being about us, keep it solely focused on God, but you're the messenger. You can't. You can try, and that's what's happening is when you try to keep yourself completely out of it, it's just people are having a hard time connecting to it. It's really hard to connect to it when you keep trying to keep yourself out of the equation because you're a part of the equation. Okay? Principle number two, the story-sharing approach is rooted in the fact that God has shared his stories with us. And as a result of Christ's story, our stories have become a part of his story. Several weeks ago when we did the topic of preparing people through pre-evangelism, this is part of the story-sharing approach. And I stated that my belief is that basically the entire Old Testament is pre-evangelism. It's pre-evangelism because we're learning about the character of God, the heart of God, the attributes of God, how he acts in relationship through people's sins, through people's failures. He is setting us up for the gospel in the New Testament by sharing his stories, by telling us how he created the world, by telling us how he's been rejected over and over again, by showing what happens when he takes over a person's life and that they are willing to follow him wherever he says. He shares his stories with us. And because of Christ's story, which is the gospel, we get grafted into God's story. The sharing of God's good news often includes sharing our personal testimony along with the larger gospel story. Weaving the two together reveals the power and love of God's gracious work through all times and his specific salvific work in a real person's heart, yours. Right? Why is humanity so moved by stories and narratives? Think about it. No matter what your dominant learning modality is, meaning whether you're a visual learner, an audio learner, or a kinesthetic learner, you love stories. It's why we watch movies and TV shows, why we hear radio programs, why we read books, why we, you know, put together puzzles. Everything is story-based. Because it's experiential. It's about the experience. It's about being taken into another realm and into another world to connect with something deeper than yourself. So this is what we do when we share our stories. We take them into the deeper fabric of God's greater story. I've often tried to explain this picture because I haven't been able to find it since that one time I saw it. But basically, you know, if you imagine, I often talk about how God's sovereignty over the world, our lives, and the whole world at the same time is like tapestry. It's like him weaving together this humongous, I don't know what you want to call it, I'm out of my depth here. He's weaving together this huge thing with all these images of what he's done. And each one of our lives is a little square. What do you call those things? It is tapestry. Okay, that's why. Thank you, Pastor Stephen. This is why I keep them around. So the tapestry, right? And so as each one of our lives is just another square in the tapestry, and it's beautiful, and you can go story by story, person by person. But if you zoom out, 100 miles, what you come to see is that each individual tile in the tapestry just creates the face of Jesus. It creates the face of God's work, and that's why they're interwoven together. So we need to understand sharing our story means opening up. It means understanding that you're valuable in the kingdom of God, that your story matters because it's God's story. Principle number three, the story-sharing approach ministers to those who value the experiential and the practical. Right, so there's people that really connect with, you know, real life. I need to know the person who actually went through this. I need to see it with my own eyes. And I also want to know that what you're sharing with me actually works. I don't care. I don't want to hear about the theoretical things you learned in a book that you've never tried, that you've never lived. I want to know that you've been through it, that you've done it, and you're on the other side of it. Now I'm willing to acknowledge that you have some power, you have some authority to tell me about this. And now I'm willing to listen, right? It's like, no offense, I'm not saying if you never had kids, you can't say anything about parenting. But if you haven't had kids, I'm probably not going to listen to you about parenting. Probably because you ain't been there, you ain't done that, right? And so same thing. Everything in life, we want a credible source for why we listen. Experiential and practical. And that's what the story sharing approach taps into. And almost all of humanity can identify with that. Principle number four, the more you share your story with others, the more it will reinforce your own faith. The more it will fuel your desire to keep doing it. And the more it will give honor, praise, and glory to God. So I spent several days this week after Sunday with Frank and Val and their whole family, and I was playing tour guide. So if you ever think about, pastor's job is so hard, it must be so hard to be a pastor. Look at how tan I got these last few days because I'm out there playing tour guide in San Francisco for 12 hours a day. So on the last day before they left to Yosemite, you know, we had some conversations, but nothing really heavy or in-depth. But on the last night, you know, Sarah, Hannah, and I are there at their Airbnb, and we're just eating pizza because we didn't want to go to a restaurant. And we start sharing our stories. They start sharing, Elodie and Loic start sharing how they came to Christ, all these things, because they had heard Val and Frank do it. And so then I share my story. And I started thinking about it after, because I broke down crying in the middle of my story. And when I broke down crying, I was like, why did I get so emotional, right? And I started thinking, I was like, you know what? I tell bits and pieces of my story for so many years all the time, but I can't really remember the last time I did it from start to finish, which took, especially with a translator, like an hour, right? So I break down in the middle of it. Because it helped me realize again, I know this, but it reminded me of how gracious God is through all the mistakes, through all the errors, through all the sins, that he still called me. He still calls us. And so that's why I say the more you share your story, the more it reinforces your own faith, because it reminds you of what God has already done. It reminds you of all the times God has been faithful when you were not. When God's power was greater than the things set against you. How God provided a way when there was no way. How God made the impossible possible. And so the more we share it, the more we are reminded. The more it is ingrained in us. And I was thinking about this the other day. This is not bragging. I was just thinking because I shared my testimony. The part that broke me down was when I almost quit the path God had me on. It got so hard. It had been so difficult for so many years that I was at a point of just quitting and saying, forget it. I quit again. But he intervened. He sent a divine encounter to give me the right word at just the right time. And what I thought about when later on the next day as I'm thinking about it, what it reminded me was that after that moment, I only had one more moment like that again. My life was full of those moments. Constantly like, I don't think this is God's will. I must be wrong. I must be doing something wrong. This must be punishment. But after that divine encounter, only one more time did I go through that scenario 4 years later. And since that time, I've never been through it again. And that is now 7 years. No matter what has come, and life has not been easy. It has been full of challenges. But no matter what has come, I have never again questioned God, doubted God, or wanted to quit because I've seen him do too much. I've seen him deliver time after time. And so that's what I'm talking about, the reinforcing of your faith. When you see how God's faithfulness continues to carry you out, when you see how wonderful he is despite your own sinfulness, it also reminds you that everything he's given, everything he's done, has nothing to do with you deserving it. It's got nothing to do with you doing the right things or being the right person. It is sheer grace. And grace fuels the fire It fuels the fire of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And that's why I said the second part is it fuels your desire to keep doing it. Not just to keep sharing your story. It does do that. But it keeps fueling your desire to keep going, to keep investing, to go even deeper with God because you know it's possible. You know, the scripture calls it the quenching of the spirit when we don't feed that fire. When we're not putting in the logs anymore so that it stays burning bright and hot. The Holy Spirit is with us forever because we believe, but we are supposed to kindle that fire. We're supposed to feed it, and we feed it with the things that we feed our mind and our heart and our soul. So by sharing your testimony with others, you will also hear it, and it will fuel you too. And these are the kinds of things that give God true honor, true praise, and true glory. Because you are honoring him. Like I said, as I told my story, and I was sharing my story, it was about my brokenness, but what God did to step in. How he healed that brokenness. How he uses anybody, and how he uses the worst of us, and how he takes the chief of sinners and turns them into his messengers. So make sure that you invest. It is an investment to keep sharing your story. So now that I believe you're fully convinced that sharing our story, the approach, is part of what we must do. It's part of being God's witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the world. Now we're going to focus on how do we actually become more proficient in sharing our story. So Principle 5 tells us there are many ways to grow in your confidence and competency in sharing your story about God with others. We know there's people that hate public speaking. They don't want to make things about themselves, so I'm talking to you. Okay, you're the person that would rather do things in action. You'd rather be behind the scenes, nobody watching you. I understand that, but you also are called to share your story. So I came up with 11 ways that will help you share your story. First of all, you know, well-meaning Christians that we are, we hear a sermon, we catch fire, and then we want to go hurry up and do it. So my first thing is you got to be patient. Be patient. It's a timing issue. We don't just share our story to share our story. We're sharing our story according to God's time, according to God's will, with who he wants us to share it. It's not a volume thing. It's a quality thing, right? It's not quantitative, it's qualitative. So before you share your story, I advise you that you form a genuine connection with the person first. There is a time and a place to share stories with people you don't know at all. God will set up those divine encounters. But because we're talking about starting out for those that are not used to doing this, form a genuine connection with the person before you share your story. This is not Ten Commandments. This is not God's word. I'm just trying to help you grow in your story sharing. So I would recommend that you ask questions and listen to their story first. Ask questions, invite them in, let them tell you about themselves. And then it means more when you share about yourself. I told you that's what I did with Loic and Elodie. I'm the pastor. I could do whatever I want, basically. And yet I invite them in to share their story before I share mine. I had shared with the pre-evangelism that I believe we do need to earn the right to share the gospel, to share the good news. I believe the same about sharing our story. I think one of the things that makes your story most beneficial is when you get invited to share your story. Not to pick on Paul, he did exactly what God wanted him in Acts chapter 22, but he's telling his story when nobody wants to hear it. Did you hear how the story ended? They tried to kill him, right? Like, oh, we ain't trying to hear all that. So of course they're going to attack him. So the difference for us is if we're invited to tell the story, then there's not so much attack on the back end because you were asked to give it. Another way is invest in sharing your story by organizing it and practicing it. First of all, I will email out Val and Frank's testimonies to you this week because I know, you know, might have been hard to hear. There was a lot of emotion. So you will have it written out for you in English to see. But Val and Frank and I worked on those testimonies a minimum of 10 hours, helping them go through, you know, because when you think about telling your testimony, sometimes you start including details that don't matter that much, right? Like, we're so overwhelmed, we're so excited to do it. So I had to help them, first of all, get everything out and then start filtering what's the key important points. And so as you organize and you practice your story, I would encourage you to focus on three things. What was your life like before God? And then what did you discover that made you make a decision to break out of that? And as a result, what's the difference it has made? This is what people need to hear about your story. What was your life like before you met Christ? What did you discover that led you to the decision to follow Christ? And how has your life changed as a result? This is why, you know, that I emphasize over and over again, continuous transformations. Because it's wonderful to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, to receive eternal life, to receive the Holy Spirit, to be included in his family for all of eternity. But when we don't continue to transform over and over and over again, sometimes it doesn't make a difference here on earth. And that's not God's way. He ushers in eternal life here and now. He ushers in the healing now. He ushers in the growth now. And so what's the difference it has made? Next, I would encourage you to own your story. Be honest, be transparent, be vulnerable. People have an innate way of knowing when you're holding something back. Like, you're trying to get to, like, how you got there, but you're not really telling the story of how you really got there. And it's sometimes because we're still living with shame and we're still living with regrets. It's embarrassing. But to own your story and to truly give God all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, it means revealing the depths of what we were. God doesn't hold anything back in his stories when he's talking about his great men and women that he has led. He tells us all the dirt. I'm not saying you got to tell everybody all the dirt all the time, but you probably got to lean that way because it makes a much more impactful investment in people because they can identify, yeah, you know what? There's a lot of ugly stuff about me too. I come from a broken home too. It was not easy for Frank to get up and tell you about the pedophile that abused him and his siblings for 4 years. It wasn't easy for Val to tell you, you know, she was like the Samaritan woman looking for love in all the wrong places for years and never finding it. None of that stuff's easy. When I tell you about my past, it's not easy. It's not to glorify sin. It's to glorify the Father. Saying like, man, even people like me, even people like us, he will save. So why do you think you're beyond it? As much as possible, keep your story brief and keep them wanting more. What I mean by that is make sure you cover your main bases and let people ask questions that will go into further detail. Don't tell all the details over every single thing because it's going to drag on and then you lose your place. I have many people in my life that I love dearly that are not good storytellers, right? Like they get so locked into details, like, what's the main point of this whole thing, right? Don't be there. Don't tell your story like that. Keep it brief, main points, and let people ask questions to bring out more. Remember that your story is about ministering to others. It's not about you. It's about literally the fact that you're ministering to others. God wants to minister to others through your story, through the sharing of your story. Customize your story to your audience. Know who's in the room, know what they're going through, and know what part of your story is going to be good for them. Speak plainly and simply. You don't need big words. You don't need to try to dress it all up. Just let the plainer and simpler your vocabulary and your storytelling is, the more the Holy Spirit can take all of that and just use it profoundly. And remember that your story is really God's story. Alan was saying. I was listening to Alan pray before he got off the stage. I'm like, this guy stole my sermon. What's he doing? Right? It's God's story, not your story. And so this is all the more reason, the same way you quote the story of Daniel and you stole the quarry, you quote the story of Matthew, yours is another one added to the collection. So yours is not less than, because it equally reveals the King. So again, there are many ways to grow in your confidence and competency in sharing your story about God with others. Principle number 6, your story is meant to resonate and to minister to specific kinds of people. Every testimony has an important role in building up God's kingdom. So one of the reasons I often come across with people not wanting to share, my story is not exciting. Like, I wasn't a drug addict, I wasn't a jihadist, I wasn't an atheist. I was just a kid that grew up in church. My story's boring. No, it's not. Every testimony, every life, every shared story has a specific audience of people that God has in mind. You know, as I think about Hannah, and Lord willing, she'll continue to, you know, live out her calling before God and all these things. Her life is drastically different than mine. Growing up in church, growing up with a pastor father, I assume, and I'm not God and I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I assume in the future her story will minister to other pastors' kids, to other kids that grew up in the church that didn't do radical things but need Jesus just as much. We often confuse the fact that people attend church with the fact that they don't need Jesus or that they're not sinners. Who's not? And so your story, for what it is, and as I said before, in several sermons before, I love the testimonies of men and women that were raised in the church, you know, accepted Jesus at a young age, and didn't have tremendous fallout in their lives. Instead, they followed God and they faithfully saw deliver again and again and again. And they avoided the catastrophes that people like I didn't avoid. That's great testimonies. That's encouraging for our parents and for our kids because they know it's possible. That's what I hope Hannah will have for others too. Like, hey, I didn't have to go through all that heartache. I didn't have to go through ruin. I didn't have to hit rock bottom. You can give yourself to God in a good place of your own free will, without having to do those things, still knowing that you're a sinner just as much as everybody else. So I want to show you something here that, you know, maybe I want to make sure we're theologically aligned on this. Your story is meant to resonate and to minister to specific kinds of people. What this means is that your story will not appeal to every person in all places and all times. Sometimes you're going to give your story, it's not going to be accepted, it's not going to be received. It's okay, because that's the way it works. And we see this in verse 17 of Acts chapter 22. So here Paul says, after I returned to Jerusalem, he had his encounter with the Lord in Damascus. He's been healed of his blindness. He's been told, go get baptized and you need to get to work. After I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple and fell into a trance. I saw a vision of Jesus saying to me, hurry, leave Jerusalem, for the people here won't accept your testimony about me. But Lord, I argued, they certainly know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And I was in complete agreement when your witness Stephen was killed. I stood by and kept the coats they took off when they stoned him. But the Lord said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. The crowd listened until Paul said that word, then they all began to shout, away with such a fellow, he isn't fit to live. They yelled, threw out their coats, and tossed handfuls of dust into the air. Your story is not meant for everybody. It's meant to impact those that God wants it to impact. You're going to be rejected sometimes when you share your story. That's why my recommendation was try as much as possible to be invited to tell your story. Will there be times that we're not going to get invited and we're going to share it? Of course. But hopefully we're working enough in relationship that we can get invited into it. And when I say that your story will resonate with specific kinds of people, I'm not telling you that you get to pick who those people are. That's not what's happening here. Right? I'm just telling you, it won't resonate with everybody. You don't get to pick. That's God's business. So it's not people just like you or people that just think like you. Paul goes and ministers to the Gentiles, who, realistically, that was not his favorite group of people. We see throughout the scriptures that his heart for his people, the Jews, is breaking because he wishes they would receive the gospel because that's where his heart is at. But they won't. Not all Jews, of course. We're talking about people he's dealing with. So you may have a heart for certain types of people. Most of us will have a heart for our family, first and foremost, and that's a great thing. But your story sharing is to be used by God with whoever, whenever he wants. Not for you just to keep it with those that you want. That's not how it works. Last but not least, principle number 7, stop making excuses and go and share your story, right? We don't need to come up with more, and I use excuses as a harsh word. Stop talking yourself out of it. Stop telling yourself why you can't or why you shouldn't or why it's not time or why you're not ready or why not. Just go and start sharing your story. Go and share the good news because this is what God has called us to do. This is an obedience thing. This is a commandment. This is not if you feel like it or when you feel like it. Go share your story. Amen? Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the privilege of having your stories shared with us by you through your Holy Spirit to the human authors who gave it to us. And Lord, we know that through all that process, not a single ounce of your redeeming, healing, loving, forgiving, merciful power has been lost. We thank you for the fact that your stories have even been written down for us. We know that in the beginning with Adam and Eve and all of our spiritual descendants, that they had the oral tradition. You shared your stories with them verbally, and then they would share it verbally, on and on. Now we get both. And now we even have kinesthetic stories like Val and Frank and Serena who come before us and pour out their hearts, showing us what you have done in their lives. Showing us that the same God who did all those things in the Old Testament, who did all the things in the New Testament, is still actively working today in the same ways and even newer, exciting ways. Lord, we thank you for your story. We thank you that you have included our personal stories and woven them into your larger story, that we each get a verse or a paragraph or a chapter in your book about you. Because we are reflecting the investment you have made in your creation. We are testimonies and witnesses of how you saved the chief of sinners like me and like us. We are examples that it's never too late while we have breath on this earth to turn back to you. We are examples of the fact that you pour out your love selflessly, regardless of the mistakes we make and the sins that we stumble over constantly, that you still love us, that you're still patient with us. Father, we thank you because you are worthy, because you deserve all the honor and you deserve all the praise. And we will sing and tell and share the story of your love forever. Lord, we love you, and we love you, and we love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.